Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are continuing our conversation about Christian Cooper, the New York resident and bird enthusiast who had the racist confrontation with a white woman in New York Central Park back in May. Joining me now with analysis is filmmaker and activist Jenks Morton. Jenks, how are you?
How are you, my friend? Good.
I'm good. I'm good. Lots to dissect here. You were one of the many people who saw the original HUR at home on social media, and you had quite a few comments. Now that you've had a couple of days to think about it, what would you say are your impressions about that conversation with Christian Cooper?
Well, I'll start off with saying I was wrong.
What do you mean by that?
I think I was unfair to him in casting judgment on his decision not to participate in her prosecution. When I heard it, I'm like, what is wrong with him? Why? And then after I heard him parse his way through his logic, I was wrong. You know, the Bible saying an eye for an eye or whatever it is. Well, that's a metric to say if someone takes a dollar from you, you're entitled to $1 and no more. And if I heard him correctly, he was saying that what she suffered so far equates to what damages he incurred. And what I had to reflect on for myself was I wanted to pin her up to make her pay for all the other Karens and going back to Emmett Till or far back as you want to go and make an example of her. And that would be unrighteous and unfair and what is too often that has been done to us in the past. So that makes me no better than my oppressor. Does that make sense, or am I going too far with it?
No, I mean, that's why you're here. I want to hear your opinion. And
right.
I think that he did say, mm-hmm. he was very transparent when he said that he was conflicted and he struggled with this, and it could be, and this is something we don't know, and I did not ask him, but it could very well be that he may not have personally, before this incident, had anything happen to him directly from a white person that that would cause him to internalize anger, offense, and the like.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't the way it is with me.
It ain't the way with me either. I mean,
okay, so
PG, like
let us be really, really clear. And I don't want to beat up on him. That's not why we're here to have this discussion.
Right.
But I think it is an opportunity for us to dissect not only this particular incident, but mm-hmm. also the broader question of how we confront racism when it shows up and we may not necessarily be prepared for it. I mean, our parents always say, always be ready so you don't have to get ready.
Yep.
But it's just,
No, I hear your frustration. And the thing of it is, I think, again, we have very similar backgrounds in where we come from.
Mm-hmm.
And when you heard that, you're like, oh, what is wrong with this? I'm taking my own luggage, my own experience, the lens of my life, and the angst and animosity that I may carry on my heart, and I want somebody to pay. I want to make an example out of someone. If I heard him right, that's not right. That's not fair. And that, again, is what's done to us. You know, when we work with stereotypes or injustices inside the racism or they're getting the book thrown at you, it happens to us all the time. And I cannot, Michelle Obama, when they go high, when they go low, we go high. That's kind of what I was hearing from him. And as much as I would like to pull him over to my side of the force, listening to him work his way through his thought process. I heard pain. I heard confliction. I heard remorse. What I did not hear was vengeance. And that line that is done to us all the time, he was unwilling to cross. And I was like, you know what? The brother kind of got a point there, and it's making me uncomfortable. Maybe I need to think about why I want to see Amy Cooper, you know, on a whatever, skewered, or whatever you want to call it. Why do I want to roast that one person and make her the example, and thinking that it might deter other Karens out there, which I don't believe it's going to do. I think that is their wiring. I think that is the way that they are. I think they have to be, what he was saying is, we hold them individually accountable to the point of the, you know, the transgression that they make, and don't go beyond that. And so, like I said, it was an uncomfortable thing for me to sit there. I'm like, because I'm gritting my teeth. I'm ready to go. I'm like, come on, Harold, light this dude up. Get him on the dark side of the floor. Get him ready. You know, he got to get his black card because he ain't right. And then, like I said, when I heard him, I'm like, guess what? Jenks might not be right.
So let me offer this.
Okay.
In support of his being conflicted, mm-hmm. his really parsing the highly nuanced afterthought mm-hmm. of making a decision not to assist the Manhattan DA in her prosecution. Mm-hmm. So in that, I do see, once I've had a chance to calm down from this incident after hearing about it and then realizing that it happened on the same day that George Floyd was killed. Okay. Mm-hmm. And all of the information and all of the and everything else. No, we are still not calm. But if we are asking to be treated equally mm-hmm. in this country, and Ben Crump said this earlier this week, which is why he was suing the Minneapolis Police Department in the, for the family of George Floyd. Right. He said they weren't asking for special treatment. They were asking for equal treatment.
Equal treatment.
And so if that is the case, if Mr. Cooper decides I'm not going to participate in her prosecution, but the other side of that is, if you want to do it, I'm not going to stop you from doing it.
Right.
And whatever happens to her, and this is, my perspective, as a result, they have the video. He said, I'm going to wash my hands of this. I'm going to let the law run its course, because I believe that they are attempting to prosecute her because they see us as equals, and that she violated she broke the law, but I'm not going to stand up and point the finger. I've done what I need to do. I think I can understand that.
I thought I heard a little different. I'm agreeing with you, but I'm diverging just slightly, because what I heard was, I'm not going to participate in this system. I'm not going to be part of what it sounded like is, the only reason why they're even going after her now is because of political opportunity, the culture where we are right now, the dynamics that are going on around race, and some DA is going to make I'm extrapolating right now, but some DA mm-hmm. or somebody's going to make a career out of making a name for themselves by taking down Amy Cooper. I don't want no part of that. You know what I mean? Because that is equal injustice, which we suffer from all the time. We want equality, but we don't want to give them the equality of our injustices. We don't want to lay that at the foot. We don't want to be responsible for it. And again, I'm reading a lot into what I was hearing, but you know how you sit back and you just listen to somebody and hear, and then you also kind of feel where their heart is at. The brother just got me. I'm with you. Okay, you know what? I don't need Amy Cooper right now, but if we could have some insurance, and this is the other side of what's going on. We, whenever like a police officer kills an unarmed black person, or Karen makes a phone call, or something is targeted against us, we never get justice on the other side of that. They're never held accountable for their actions. Well, if this is the first step in that direction, which he believes is an overstep, maybe if you set the bar so high, when it does finally come back down for the next person who acts like that, then we can start to see equal justice for those actions. Because what he's saying is that they're going too far with this, and maybe not to use it as a deterrent, but to use it as, you know, raising the bar for what the expectation of justice is when these people have these types of transgressions.
We are talking about an interview that I did earlier this week on HUR at Home on our social media platforms with Christian Cooper. He was the New York resident and bird enthusiast who had a racist confrontation with a white woman, Amy Cooper, no relation to him, in New York's Central Park back in May. We're not taking any phone calls tonight. However, if you have a comment or a question, you can hit me up on Facebook at Harold T. Fisher. That's T as in Thomas, not hard to find. You can inbox me if you have a comment during the course of this conversation. I'm talking with filmmaker and activist Jenks Morton about this issue. And I wanted to say, Jenks, don't misunderstand. I wasn't saying that's what I was hearing from him. That is what I was in adjusting how I've felt.
Right.
Having right. to had some opportunities to think about it. But I still disagree where he says that prosecuting her would keep the focus on her. See, I don't agree with that.
Say that again now, the prosecuting her.
He said prosecuting her would keep the focus on her.
And not the bigger issue.
And not the bigger issue.
Yeah,
I don't agree with that. Yeah, I don't agree with that. I do think that this incident,
mm-hmm.
even though he said he was unscathed, he said he was not hurt. But I think that this incident, Ahmaud Arbery, George Floyd, and we can go on and on and on and on,
forever.
That you cannot, even though, you know, we have, in those two cases, we had, you know, two black men who lost their lives. But I don't really believe in degrees. You cannot break the law and do wrong to black folks and then expect them to forgive you and not suffer the consequences of the law. Because so far, she hasn't suffered any consequences of the law. She has suffered the consequences of public opinion.
Well, and she lost her job.
She lost her job, but she lost her job because people roasted her about it, and of course her job was like, oh no, this is going to make us look bad.
Right, of course, we get that, and her name is, she might have to change it because everybody knows who Amy Cooper is now. I get that. But I just keep going back to this thing of how he framed it that, you know what, okay, what do you want? Let me ask you that, Harold. What do you want? She weaponized the police against a black man. Knew fully exactly what she was doing. I could not have said it better. Huh?
I could not have said it better. Go ahead.
we know she knew what she was doing. Right. So, what do you want? You want her to go to jail? You want her to pay a fine? Do you want her? What legal repercussions should she suffer for what she did? Is there even a law in the books for that? Like we're so used to it. What is their infraction? Is it a misdemeanor? Is it a felony? What is it?
It is a misdemeanor in New York.
Right.
And
for what?
But
a misdemeanor for what? What's the crime?
Filing a false police report.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, that is what happened.
1 year in jail, $5,000 maybe? Is that the maximum?
I'm still working on my law degree. But, but
well,
you know,
that's what it is in Georgia. A misdemeanor, max 1 year. You can't do more than a year, and max $5,000. That's max. Okay?
Right. But if you're asking me what I would want to see happen, it is not, you know, sometimes it is not about the letter of the law. It is about the spirit of the law and the details about why this happened and what happened. And I think, yeah, if she goes to court, yeah, you could say, well, you could pay a fine and go. But because of the circumstances and because of where we are right now, I don't believe that community service is a severe, is a severe issue as it relates to, racial sensitivity training, working in a school where there are minorities that really,
I'm just throwing that out there. If it's not on the books, you're not going to get that.
Right.
It's not going to happen. So what I'm hearing him saying is like, look, whatever y'all want to do, y'all go do what y'all did, because the injury that I suffered, and that was the only layer that I would like to peel back with that dude, because he was kind of dismissive about what happened to him. He kind of addressed the superficial, like, hey, I'm all right, I didn't get hurt, blah, 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 blah. And then, in our minds, we talk about the potential of what could have happened to you. You could have ended up like this.
Yeah, her intent was severe.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, you as a black man, me as a black man, we walk around with these like repressed traumas of a lifetime. Things that we don't, it's like a maladaptive coping mechanism. We just kind of deal with it and keep it moving. So that's back on the clinician side. Let them handle that with him. But with where he is, he's like, I don't even want to deal with this. And I don't even want to deal with your system. And I think she got enough. If y'all want to go do what you want to do, y'all go do it. I'm not in it no more. And if that's his choice, the thing that the kind of, and this is, I don't want this to be a bad analogy. This is a bad analogy, but at this only one, when I heard him say it, I'm like, you sound like the woman who's being abused by her husband and doesn't want to press charges. That's where my mind went. Does that make sense?
I think you were right with the first line about the bad analogy. I would hate to, even try to, equate domestic violence with that.
No, I'm not equating. I'm saying.
I just want people to know that you're not doing that.
I'm minimizing. What I'm doing is, what he's doing is minimizing the impact of the trauma so that he can continue to navigate.
Right. Okay. That's what I was saying before. Okay. Let him take care of his own mental, emotional health in the wake of this. And I'm not going to be a part of it. But that has nothing to do, in my mind, with the bigger issue. It happened. She tried to make it happen.
Yep.
And I think that because she tried to destroy this man's life and because she knew what she was doing, that you're losing your reputation and your home, that's a sidebar. Okay.
Wow.
That's honestly a sidebar. That doesn't happen for everyone who commits a racist act.
Yep.
Somebody who commits a racist act and somebody who tries to harm someone during the course of a racist act must, I really think, no matter what, misdemeanor, felony, whatever. Mm-hmm. Whether it is Ahmaud Arbery, Emmett Till, like a friend of mine said to me, and I said this during the interview, she said she was trying to Emmett Till you.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
and she needs to, even without his help, she needs to go through the process. And it is up to a judge, if convicted, to say whatever the punishment may be. It may not be a week of weekends for a month, but it may be community service. But I think that community service needs to be a lesson, not just for Amy Cooper, but
and
I hope
there
that
you go. There's that line right there. See that right there? That's the line.
Right.
When you remember where I started this now, an eye for an eye, that line of making her an example and telling the entire world of Karens, one, I don't think it's going to change them. It's just the way they are.
So what's wrong with making her an example?
Because that's what they do to us.
Okay, but
I don't want to be like them. I don't want that on my soul. That I overreached in my will to just destroy her and anything like her. Because of what she did, because she tried to destroy me. Like I said, I heard what he was saying, and
but that's what I was saying. This is no longer you're already out of it. You have decided not to participate.
Yep.
So it's not on you anymore because you've done, but I'm talking about the law.
Mm-hmm.
And political or not, because everything right now has been since that same day when we mm-hmm. lost George Floyd, everything yep. is political. FedEx and the Washington football team.
Whatever they're called, yeah.
Right. That is now political. Because without the tragedy and the horror of what happened to George Floyd, we probably would not have had FedEx and so many people. We come after the football team and cause them to change a racist name. Okay? All and so I think that what happened in the Ramble in Central Park is part and parcel of the bigger issue. Sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I'm not going to take it anymore. It doesn't right. matter whether or not he lived to fight another day or to bird another day.
I hear you. I hear exactly what you're saying. And what I was feeling when I heard the brother was like this. I'm right now, I'm white Karen. I don't like black people, and I know how to keep them in their place. So
right.
it doesn't matter if he's a birder, if he's educated, if he's a radio host, if he's a filmmaker, if he's a Wall Street bank, it don't matter. I just know what I can do to tear all of them down because I have that power. It sounds just like the converse of what you're trying to say. I want to take them all down because now I have power. But that makes me no better than them.
No, see, it's not about taking them down. No, to me, this is about the application of the law, and that the issue of white privilege.
I'm with you. You don't have to. I'm with you. You don't have to educate me.
You got
I'm
me walking you. Around my living room right now.
I am with you. I'm telling you, I'm with you. This is another thing, another stereotype. And when I heard he was a bird watcher, I'm like, oh, here we go. You know, that's where my mind went. You know, how long is his black card if he's watching birds? But I had to listen to him. Now, if he was Clarence Thomas, I don't think I would have given him that kind of benefit. But he made the case that, like, look, if somebody comes and steals my car, and my security camera catches them, and the police catch him down the road, you don't need me, cop or DA. Go do what you do. And I'm not trying to go get every burglar in the world for my car. Yeah, it hurt that I got my car stolen, and I've had stuff stolen all my life, but I'm not with it. If that's what y'all want to do, go do. I was not injured. And when he made that point, I got it. I get it, even though part of me still kind of, it rubs me the wrong way, but I respect where the stand that he wants to make.
Well, and let me say, I and this is where I disagree about, you know, for example, the black card issue. A New York-born birder who attended Harvard mm-hmm. is no more or no less black than a Prince George's County
filmmaker
or radio host who went right. to Morgan State University or who went right. to Howard or Hampton
right.
or
right.
what have you, because this right. isn't about, we can have a separate discussion, I think, about how black people
right.
may see him, but again right. this isn't about how we see him, this is about
right.
how he was seen by her. And what he attempted to do
when I heard his background, I judged him. I judged him. I'm like, oh, here we go. You know,
yeah,
I mean, somebody who's going to kowtow to this Mo Harbor boy. You know that thing that.
Yeah,
sorry,
I understand.
Yeah. So, but
and that's where I say, we are not necessarily monolithic
no.
in our backgrounds, mm-hmm. in our thinking. Mm-hmm. In the way we worship and the way we see these situations. But
right.
none of that matters when someone who only sees the color of our skin
yep.
and they attempt to do that to me. And I often wonder, even as I've been sitting back and thinking about this, I am particularly curious, even outside of, you know, being a, you know, a journalist, I'm just particularly curious to see not only what will happen when this goes through the legal system in Manhattan, in New York, but also what she has to say, and indeed what she may learn and what she may be willing to share. Because one of the things that I didn't ask him, but I asked him afterwards, I said, has he spoken to her? He says he has not. He said news organizations have tried to get them together to have a conversation, and he declined. I don't know
whether, why.
I don't know.
I don't talk to her. I don't know why I talk to her. Why? That's just ratings. I don't deal with her.
Yeah, but
and I don't want her fake apology, and I don't care what the legal system is going to do to her, because you know what? I done seen it do nothing for so long. I don't even care.
So you don't think that this should be another beer summit moment like we saw during the first, you know, month of the Obama administration?
All the way back there, 8 years.
Because if you think about it, you know, that
ain't nothing.
Obama.
Skip Gates and some low whatever, some police officer don't know. You know what I mean? So where did that get?
He attempted to bring it together. Okay, but I guess now here we are, you know, a decade or more, you know, mm-hmm. later, and again, it comes down to, at least from sick and tired of being sick and tired, and even if you throw your hands up and just let the legal system take its course, and we'll continue to find out. I'll let you have a final word, your final thoughts about this.
Well, I'm gonna dovetail just a slightly. What I will say, I would love this to be like a general question because, you know, I've got young kids and you and I both have seen a lot in our lives. And what I will say is regardless of, you know, what happened to, hey, I can use irregardless now, I heard too. So
yeah, let's not.
Regardless of what goes on with Amy Cooper, what I will say is what's going on in the world right now is different than anything that I've ever seen in my lifetime.
I know.
From Rodney King to when they burned DC. I mean, it's just, we've seen a lot of movement around race in our life, but I've never seen hope before. This is the first time in my life that I have hope that things can be better for my children than they were for us.
Let us hope so.
Yeah. Right, so.
Jenks Morton, thanks for talking to me, man. I appreciate it. Love you, brother.
Always, my friend. Stop pacing the living room. You know, I love you, brother.
All right. Stay safe.
All right, man.
That thanks. Is the Daily Drum for this Thursday, July 16th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.